Greetings to you again as we gather together for our worship in this format. Today in our church, we're celebrating our confirmation service, and so we do pray for those who will be making their commitment and becoming members of the Methodist Church of Southern Africa. But as we begin our worship, so we turn to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity of worshiping together, reminding ourselves, Lord, that as we do so, we come seeking your kingdom, knowing, Lord, that you have blessed us, you have provided for us, you continue to sustain us. And so we would pray, Lord, that as we seek you, you would make your presence felt wherever we are as we share together in this worship service. We ask, Lord, that you would forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for those things that separate us from you and from others. Set us free from that burden. Release us into a restored relationship with you. Because, Lord, it is in our seeking your kingdom that we discover grace and mercy and forgiveness. So, Lord, we are sorry. Forgive us for all our sins. And so we trust and rely on that grace, on that mercy. And so receive these words, Lord, as you say to us, brother, sister, son and daughter, your sins are forgiven. Thank you, Lord, for grace, for love, for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of this day. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of this worship time. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you mean to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we join together in worship as we sing together, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We have only one reading for this morning, And so hear these words from Matthew's Gospel, and we read from chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. As Matthew writes, the parable of the hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man happens to find a treasure hidden in a field. He covers it up again and is so happy that he goes and sells everything he has and then goes back and buys that field. The parable of the pearl. Also, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A man is looking for fine pearls, and when he finds one that is unusually fine, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that pearl. May God bless his reading to us in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if we really believe what we believe in church. Then we should apply that into the world. I think sometimes we're still doing church, being church, in the way that we used to years and years and years ago. And somehow we've got so used to the pattern of church that we don't do anything differently. As we went through COVID, the way we did church changed in some sense, but we really got back to doing things the same way we used to before COVID. If we go back about 120 years, the role of the church in society was very different from what it is today. Then the church was central to life and to society. Everybody went to church. There was usually only one church in a town. It was in that place, in the church, where people often gathered. It was often at the church where town announcements were made. It was often when anything needed to be done, especially when there was danger or something, it was the church bells that called the people together, not only for worship, but also in times of danger or when there needed to be some sort of announcement. If you look at any of our rural towns, you will often find the main church at the center of town, often the Moederkerk. But the town surrounded the church. The church connected the people. In today's world, it's a little bit different. There are so many churches for us to choose from today. Even just in Pinelands, there are over 14 different churches that you could choose from if you wanted to worship on any Sunday. Also, not everybody goes to church. The church in many ways is not central to many people's life, or even central to the life in society. The non-churched don't come to church. The non-churched don't even see the church as important. And with social media and phones and technology, the church is no longer the means of connecting with people. There's so many other platforms and options to be able to do that. But somehow in today's world, we still expect people to come to our church. We think it's the only place where we can hear the gospel, where we can discover life. Listen carefully. I'm definitely not saying that the church is not important. But maybe we need to consider the need to do church differently. Instead of expecting people to come to the church, bringing people into the church, maybe we who are in the church should be taking the church to people, wherever they are. We should be intentional about being the church out there in the world. Being the church on the street, in the workplace, at school, on the sports field, in our world. What do you think that would look like? if we took the church into our world. We'll get back to that in a few moments. Let's turn to scripture in the passages that we read from Matthew. We read about two parables, and they're about the kingdom of heaven. The parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. And two brief thoughts that come out of those two parables. The first is that the treasure is really about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is something to be valued. It is treasure. It is to be treasured. It's something to be longed for. Of course, that represents our faith, our relationship with Jesus, our salvation. But that needs to be what's of value to us. Do we view our faith as a priceless treasure? Do we value our relationships with Jesus as something that is so precious and priceless that we'll do anything to keep it, to get it? We would sell everything we have in order to attain it? Or is our relationship with Jesus or our church just an add-on? On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most precious, how would you value your relationship with Jesus? On a scale of 1 to 10, how high would you value your faith or your relationship with Jesus? The second thought coming out of those parables is one of action. If you noticed, the characters in the parables both did something in order to gain the treasure. He covered up the treasure, went and sold everything he had so he could buy the field, because that was what he wanted. That was what he needed to get the treasure. Even when the person finds that most unusual pearl, sells everything in order to buy that one pearl. And what I notice in that one is there's deep intentionality. Those characters did something. They made a plan in order to attain the treasure. I wonder about us. How intentional are we in keeping the treasure? How intentional are we in sharing what we view or feel is so priceless and precious? Do we intentionally live and share our faith? Do we make a plan to share our faith? We need to remember that our faith is not a thing that's compartmentalized into our life. It's not something that we chase after in certain boundaries. Our faith is something that enfolds every relationship we have, every emotion that we feel, every daily experience we go through, from the most significant to the most mundane. Our faith encompasses all of that. Our faith is not something we can put into a box and separate out of other things in life. So what do you think that would look like if we intentionally set about doing church in our everyday worlds? What do you think our faith would look like? What do you think our faith would look like if we intentionally shared our treasure? If we shared our faith in ways that touched our everyday activities, in our everyday worlds, what would our church look like? What do you think church would look like if we intentionally applied all that we know in Scripture, all that we learn about in church, into our everyday worlds? What would it look like if we lived what we say we believe? What do you think our everyday world would look like if we were more self-controlled, patient, honest, more compassionate and caring, more gracious and generous, what would it look like? I guess that all depends on the value that your faith means to you. It all depends on the value that you place upon your relationship with Jesus. What was that number on your 1 to 10 scale? Because the higher the number, my guess is, the more important and the more real your church, your faith will be visible in the outside world. We need to intentionally apply out there what we believe in here. We need to apply what we believe in church out in the world, and then church will be seen. I conclude with a story that was told about an English missionary in India. He applied to a mission board and was given a whole lot of instructions and he was accepted and given a whole lot of instructions about what he needed to do while he was in the mission field. The one thing that he really needed to do was to keep a double entry bookkeeping system. He had no background in accounting or even business, but he had a calling to be a missionary. Needless to say, his balances were often off. The accounts kept getting messed up because he didn't quite understand what needed to go where. And eventually the mission organization said that they had to release him because he was unfit for the mission world. That was their assessment. When in truth, all that was the real problem was that he wasn't a good bookkeeper. But he graciously accepted the decision, and so he left, and nobody knew where he went. Years later, a woman missionary visited a remote jungle village and wanted to introduce Jesus to the natives of that area. And she told them about Jesus' kindness and his love for the poor, how he went from home to home and ate with people, how he visited them when they were sick, how he fed them when they were hungry, and how he healed the sick, bound up their wounds, listened to their stories, bound their broken hearts, and how the children loved to follow him. The eyes of the natives got steadily bigger as this person was sharing these stories, and they began to light up. Their faces beamed until one of them exclaimed, "We know this man well. He's been living here for years." And when they took this missionary to see him, it was the man who'd been dismissed by the missionary board because he couldn't keep a bookkeeping system. He'd settled down in the village and got on with his ministry and his work. Released from the burden of keeping the books, he did all that he needed to do. Whenever someone was sick, he visited them, cared for them as best he could, tended to their needs where necessary. Whenever they were hurt, he would be the one who would be helping them bind up the wounds. Where there were old and infirm people, he would visit, keep company, brighten their day. And he would move from hut to hut and offering help wherever he could. I wonder, if someone had to come to your village, to your neighborhood, if someone had to come to your place of work or your school, and the person began to describe Jesus, would anyone hearing that story or that description say, "We know that person well, he's been living here for years," and maybe point to you? How deeply do you value your relationship with Jesus? How deeply do you value your faith? We need to be living our faith in the world, making a difference. If we really believe what we believe in church, we need to be applying it in our everyday lives. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the example of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the example of missionaries, of men and women of faith down the ages who have been a witness and a testimony to your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for the ways that we have come to discover faith. We pray, Lord, as we've listened today and as we reflect, that we would take seriously the challenge to make sure that the church moves out into the world, to make sure that we live out in our world what we believe in church. So, Lord, lead us, guide us, be with us. Strengthen us. Help us to be and become the people that you call us to be. May we grow your kingdom. May we share your light. May we love with your grace. And, Lord, may our efforts touch people's lives through the grace and the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Our closing song this morning is a Wesley favorite. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. We sing together. Thank you again for sharing with us. Today we're going to conclude our time together as we sing the benediction, Now unto him who is able to keep. God bless and keep well.
Now unto him. God our Savior, be glory.